Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Free, and we enjoy being in your presence, and we dance, we sing, we shout, and we get set free, we get healed, we get the gifts activated in us. And you light it up. So, Father God, would you come and we just open up our hearts, open up our hands and our minds to all that you have today to teach us and show us and reveal to us so that we would be transformed and that we would transform our world. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So we thought we'd start off by just kind of giving a little bit of background of each one of our kind of journeys in worship leading. And we'll keep it kind of quick, but just to tell me a little bit of my story. I grew up in Canada, in Toronto. And actually my parents are right here. I just want to honor them too, if you guys don't mind waving. They took an extended road trip and they're here. It's like perfect timing that they made it here just in time for our message. It was kind of fun. So, I grew up in the church, and I was surrounded by worship people. You know, I think I've heard that from my dad and from my grandpa that we've got generations of worship musicians going back maybe like 5-6 years or something like that. And so growing up, I don't know, being generations, yeah, just growing up being together with our family, like there was always something happening with church. Like we would go to rehearsals because my parents were on worship team, and I have uncles that are pastors, and so we were just surrounded by ministry and by church, and that just was a part of my life, and I love that it continues to be that, and I think that that's part of my call. And so as I grew up, I started playing music and started joining worship teams, and then getting asked to lead worship, and so I found that that was like something that God was really calling me to. And so I found this little church in England that did a school of ministry and flew over there in 2002 and did this school. And lo and behold, this girl from San Diego was there and stole my heart. And we led worship together over there. And that was how we actually connected, was through leading worship together. And so it's amazing to see how God just puts it all together, right? And you know, there's something about that. Something about the different. There is a difference between music and worship. And I found that actually, when I was over there, I came to this crossroads where I had to decide what was really my true calling. And a couple buddies of mine were actually in a Christian rock band back in Canada. And they were just about to get signed, go on the road, go tour, make albums. And like, it was a big deal. And they actually sent me an email inviting me to join the band and be a guitarist. And a whole bunch of people were like rooting for me, like, do it, go for it. This would be amazing. What an opportunity. And I was like ready to say yes. And there was just something in deep inside that was like, that's not you. Like, you're a musician, yeah, but for you, you are a worshiper, and to combine those together is something unique for you. You know, nothing wrong with being a musician and going on tour, like nothing wrong at all. But for me, it just wasn't. It wasn't for me. It wasn't what I was really being called to do. So, so that led me down the path of being a worship leader and deciding to do that. And I am so grateful, because who knows where you and I would be even still? It's pretty wild. Why don't you go ahead and tell your story a little bit?
So my story leading up to, Matt and I met at the same school of ministry in England, in London. And my story kind of leading up to that is I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. He also led worship often. So I grew up in this environment and this culture of worship leading. My dad would have me sing with him. I was like in sixth grade, and I remember going to my dad and saying, I want you to teach me the guitar. And what was really important about this, and I didn't really know it at the time, but it didn't really come out of this place for me of like, oh, I love music so much, and I love the guitar, and I just want to learn it. Like, there was something in me that wanted a tool to strengthen my ability to lead worship. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? My wanting to learn the guitar was like, hey, if it had been the piano, I think I would have wanted to learn the piano. I just wanted to have an instrument that I could use to help me lead worship. Because I knew that, like, I needed to equip myself because I knew that, that's who I was. My identity as a worship leader has always been really clear for me, but I've always struggled with my identity as a musician. I've really wrestled with, like, oh, my voice isn't, you know, as fancy as some, and my skill, my guitar playing, it's not always as great as it could be. But and that's okay. Like, I have to work at that a little bit more. But it really always, for me, was this place of, like, I am a worshiper, and I know who I am in that. So there's a lot of times up here, like, I'm making mistakes, and I might not sound so good, but that doesn't really shake me because I know that I'm doing something that that is really powerful, and it's part of my calling. And I'm not trying to, like, do this false humility thing either. Like, that's just me being real with, like, my journey as a worship leader. Like, my confidence has been more in that than anything else. And just knowing that part of my identity has kind of, that's what brought me to the school in England. Just wanting to develop more of that. And that's what kind of, like, drew us together. We were the two worship leaders on the school, so we spent a lot of time together. It just made a lot of sense. I thought you were cute, too. Spiky hair.
Making me blush. Oh, yeah, with my blonde hair. Woo. Oh, gosh. Let's not go there.
So, okay, so, sorry, there is a point to all this. So, we really wanted to kind of clearly define the role of a musician and a worship leader, kind of show you kind of where we're at. Again, love musicians, love people who are so good and so passionate about their skill. That's so important. But we want to talk a little bit for a minute about the difference between music and worship and how they're different, how they work together. Because what we do is we use worship as a tool, yeah, or we use music as a tool in worship, yeah, right? Like, when we're up here, we're using the stage, the instruments, to worship the Lord. But we all are very comfortable and familiar with the idea that there are many ways to worship. There's so many expressions, right? In our tithing, in our service, there's our whole life can be an act of worship to the Lord. So this is one expression. So we kind of just wanted to take a minute to just talk about that.
We were actually making a little, like, list of just the differences between worship and music and just how music allows us, it has this effect on us. And I think it goes back to the very beginning of creation of frequencies and movements and sound waves. And there's something to it that pulls out emotion. It, like, evokes emotion in us. it kind of bypasses our brains sometimes into our hearts, and it can let our guards down. It can allow us to feel things and heighten our sensitivity even to what's going on in the spiritual realm. You know, it stirs us and it moves us. And one picture that Annie brought up the other day was just, you know, picture a movie, like maybe one of your favorite movies. Maybe it's like a musical or there's loads of dancing or an action. Now, imagine just putting the mute button on that and watching, like, the whole thing. It's not the same. Like, you unmute that and it's like it comes alive. Why? Because of the music, the soundtrack that is supporting what's going on. And music complements all of that, and it stirs us and moves us and pulls us into the story. It loses so much power without it. So that's why we love to bring music into our worship, into our praise, because it complements and brings all that emotion, all that passion, and it lets the Lord, like, communicate with us into our hearts.
Yeah, we're made for worship. We're made to commune with the Lord, and that's something that's inside of us to do. And music is something that draws that response from us. There's this story that my dad would tell me when he was saved. He was kind of in the hippie days, the Jesus movement. He was newly saved and going to church, and there was a lot of like new music kind of being brought into the church, and he was learning a lot about that. My dad played guitar at the time, and so he was just really aware of the culture of the church and how they would worship, lifting their hands, all that stuff. And he went to a Rolling Stones concert shortly after, and he looked around and was struck by the body language and how similar it was in this rock and roll concert where most people are probably doing drugs, not worshiping the Lord in a sense, but seeing the body language and the response that the music was drawing out of people was a really powerful image to him. And for me too, just to see what a mighty and a powerful response music can draw from us.
You know, we talked about how worship isn't confined to the context of music, but music helps us express our gratitude, and allows us, because worship is a response, right? Like we receive revelation, we've understood what God has done for us and who He is, and out of that we just can't help but respond back, and that is worship. So when we bring that soundtrack, that something to sing, you know, we bring a melody that just allows us to expand our expression that much greater with way more passion and excitement than we could just, you know, without that music. So I think it's just really cool to look even in Scripture and see these references. Like there are literally like 185 songs in Scripture, and 80% of those songs are all in the Psalms. And so that's like the worship book that we start from. And so many of our songs that we sing even today are from the Psalms. And so I brought a couple of examples we could put on the screen too, just to see that singing our worship. So Psalms 105 verse 2, it says, "Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wonderful works." Psalm 95 verse 2, it says, "Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let's make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." So it gives us like a practical, like, let's be joyful. Well, we can't be joyful without joy, right? So let's take that joy and pair it with a song. Oh my goodness, like this thing is going to be amazing and so powerful and loud. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, "He put a new song on my mouth." Just think of an artist or a band that, a group that comes up with a new album. Don't you get excited about that stuff? It's like, have you heard, like, people share on Instagram and all this kind of stuff, like texting, like, oh my gosh, they came up with a new album. Listen to these songs. They're just so fresh, so new. And there's something about that like we're created to love the new. God loves the new. So he even says in Scripture, sing a new song. And we're constantly like asking the Lord for new songs and even writing new songs. We're going to look at doing that this year more. Because there's just always something more to sing about God. It's never ending. And there's such a purpose to why we sing, too. It reminds ourselves of how great he is. You know, we're singing, "Great are you, Lord," right? That reminds us and glorifies God at the same time of how great he is. Like today, we are acknowledging what he has done by singing, "What a beautiful name. And you didn't want heaven without us," you know. We're singing the gospel right there, reminding ourselves, but also acknowledging what our Savior has done for us. And also brings connection. We sung your presence today. And that is just stewarding that moment of like, I just want to connect with you. You know that song we sing, "I Just Want to Worship," too? It's like, it's so simple. Does it have to be complicated? No, like just to connect. I just want to be with you, Lord. And then, you know, we started off with "Stir a Passion." And that's declaring, and also a prayer, like, Lord, like, stir within us a greater passion for you, Lord. Stir up our faith for you. Let's get excited. They all serve a purpose.
They serve a purpose. It's important to just talk about, like, songs being more than just chords and lyrics. They're like almost like an active, alive thing that we need to partner with and participate in. when we say things like, come and blow on through, like, are we really just singing that because it's a fun little come and blow on through, and it sounds fun, and it's kind of fun to do? No, like, we're actually saying, like, we're inviting you. Like, yeah. We want you to come. You know, like, is that our heart behind what we're doing up here? Because, like, we've said that. We're not musicians, like, just in that sense where I don't want to just come up here and sing things that sound good. Like, I want to do things that are moving heaven and earth and that are lining things up. So it's just really important, the lyrics to the songs. And we think about this a lot when we're preparing our set list. Like, we don't just arbitrarily put up songs because we need a fast, a slow, and a medium. And we actually think about, like, okay, how do these songs fit together to take us on this journey of revelation? Have we just put in songs about what the Lord has done for us? Have we made sure to put at least one song in there that's just about Him? Like, I don't want to sing us a bunch of songs about me, 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 I. Those are good. It's important to remember those things. But let's not forget to, like, you, you know. There's so much to, like, to think about and to be aware of. Like, these are active things. This is like a group activity that we're all a part of.
It's all part of our culture, right? That was kind of the words that we were thinking of this week, was like how we're a community of worshipers, and it's a culture. We're passionate worshipers, but that is because we have a culture of worship. And then we're thinking this through, like, how did we get here? Why? And the word cultivate kind of popped up. We just realized, like, you know, this is so important. I think this is a huge value, is to continue to cultivate and develop. You know, the meaning behind it is to prepare the ground, the earth, for sowing seeds, for developing fruit. And healthy fruit, right? So if we want to cultivate, we want to keep working at this thing. We want to keep stirring that up and keep sowing the seeds, but then keep maintaining that for something healthy to come out of it each and every time. So what kind of worship culture are we cultivating here at Summit? That's where we started, and we started to just mull over this and go, okay, well, what about our strengths? Like, that just kind of came out of this conversation, and we actually identified like three kind of pillars, we called them, of our worship culture.
And real quick, this came about with a process. It was kind of fun for us. It was really good for us to do this. We sat down and we started to write down what we felt like all of our strengths were as a community, as a culture of worshipers in this particular house. I think every church is going to have its strengths. You know, Bethel just came out with this album, Victory. And have you guys seen that? Do you guys know the story of Jackson, the little boy from that church? Like, a few years ago, he got really, really sick. And it was all over social media because their church was, like, contending for this boy who, like, it really didn't look like he was going to make it. And it was really scary. But he ended up pulling through. And he has been this catalyst for this album, this Victory album. And that is something. And Bill Johnson, they have like a little trailer preview thing for the album. What he's saying is that the Lord will highlight themes in a season. And so for them, that Victory theme has come out of the season. And they can share it with all of us, but that's their thing. So we were kind of like, hey, so what is our theme, and what are our strengths? And every house has their themes and their strengths. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we were kind of trying to pick apart, like, what are the themes, what are our strengths, that kind of thing. We started to write them all down. And then what we basically tried to do was like, okay, well, this is a strength of ours, but it's kind of under this umbrella. So we tried to really narrow it down to what we felt were like the three main ones. We have other strengths, other things, but for us, we kind of felt like they fell into these three categories. So they are relationship, authenticity, and passion. And we're just going to talk real quickly about each one of those. And how we feel. So relationship, I think this is a pretty obvious one for our church. Like, we are such a family here, and we use the word community all the time, and we live life together, and I think that it's really special, really beautiful. That's a theme, that's a strength for us. I think that we also we lead worship and we serve each other. Like, we talk to our worship team all the time, like, hey, our job up here on this stage is to serve our congregation. So we're here to, you know, think about what we need to sing together. So it's all out of love for each other, all out of service. John 17:20 is Jesus intercedes for the church that they would be one just as he and the Father are one. And what a way to worship him, and what a way to honor him by doing exactly what he's told us to do. I think we could probably. Yeah. So, okay, so just to wrap that up too. So,
well, it's just real quick. Like, that's kind of where we came across that shift in language too a couple years ago, and we're like, you know, we are a worship team. That's in that one. Oh, okay. I'm jumping ahead.
Sometimes,
and just changing
it.
Our language to, like, worship community was one of the things that we were like, that's how we kind of came across, like, the relationship being like a pillar of our worship culture.
But it's not, it's also, so in our worship services, like, we are strengthening our relationships with each other. When we come together, we're definitely doing that. But then there's also this, like, vertical where we're all also strengthening our relationship with the Lord. We're singing those songs, and we're focusing on him, which is really important. So those are kind of the two main points for.
Yeah, the second one is authenticity. I mean, being real, right? Let's be real. That's just totally like a core thing for us. And we actually get this out of John 4:23-24. If you want to put this up in the Passion Translation, Jesus is saying, from here on out, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who worship and adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth. And I love that highlighting of the word sincere, because, you know, what does that look like in worship? To be honest, to be in truth, but also to be in the spirit. What does that mean? You know, being intentional with using the tools that God has given us to help us connect and bring heaven to earth. You know, we really want to make sure that you guys know, like, we're not trying to use music to manufacture moments or manipulate anything. Like, this is, music is actually, and all kinds of things. We're actually thinking about, like, the lights and the fog machine and those kinds of things. Like, you can kind of feel like sometimes, like, oh, that's all just manufactured to, like, make it feel like this worshipy moment. And putting on a performance or a show. But really, those are our tools that we use to help us engage with the Lord and be more aware of him, right? Like, that's really the heart behind it all. And lights.
We think about it, too, in the sense of, like, on a Sunday morning, the worship team, the tech team, we're setting this table. We're working together in a way that prepares this sanctuary to create an atmosphere, right? And to talk about those things is a little, like, planned, and we're trying to think about, like, oh, that's cool when that happens, and that's true. But at the same time, everything in our hearts is to make sure that we are pointing everyone to the Lord. It's not meant to be a distraction. It's meant to be us thinking through as best we can, to prepare as best we can to create this environment for us to meet with the Lord. So we were even just talking about, you know, like, when those lights go down, like, you're not looking around as much. And when the music is really nice and loud, everybody sings a little bit louder. So all of these things are made to work together. It's made to create this thing where we can all come alive. Oh, this was good.
Yeah, you keep doing that. It. It's okay.
Yes, okay, so all of those things working together to draw out a response.
Not force it.
Does that make sense? So it is. It's thought out, all of that, but our hearts are 100% real in that. So I hope that comes through. That makes sense.
Yeah, that was good, that part too.
Oh, yes, and song selection, too. Like, again, we kind of talked about this in relationship because this kind of goes back and forth. But another piece of language that we had changed, we kind of stopped calling our worship team a worship team. We started calling it community. And then another shift that had happened in some of our language was in our song selections, because we were finding us as worship leaders were using the words, this song is on my heart. so cool. Like, I love that. And I mean, I was doing it too. We started to feel this shift, like, but that's really not the place we should be selecting our songs for Sunday morning for. Like, there could be a song that I'm really responding to and that is just giving me life at home in my prayer closet. But it may not translate to a Sunday morning. It may not be the song that we all need to come together and sing. So I think that we had to kind of shift our mindset of like, hey, we can use like what the Lord's speaking to us as a guide. But ultimately, the songs that we're picking are what we really feel like, hey, this is a song I feel like the Lord is really on for our church. Trying to like maybe use that language a little more to get us into that frame of mind where we're picking those songs.
Got to set the table, you know?
Yeah.
And our third one is passion, which, you know, I feel like we just have this, you know, we need to work on that here. One thing that Annie and I just love and appreciate about coming here and being a part of this family is, like, there is so much passion. Like, you walk in and you start singing a song and it's like the drum beat's going and people start singing and then we've got dancing and expressions like shouting and there's a lot of freedom here and a lot of passion. And I find it's really unique and it's really refreshing. And that's something we want to continue to cultivate.
You guys make our job easy.
It does. Just say that. There are moments where we love hitting these spots where we hear you guys singing so loudly together and in such unity, we will step back from the mic. And it's
my favorite.
Oh my goodness. There's such an anointing in this room, such unity that I'm like, I don't even need to sing right now. Like, I'll just back up and go for it and join you without having to, like, you know, sing in the microphone. And I love that. There's so much passion. And I was reading through Psalm 150 in the Passion Translation because I feel like this is, it's titled in the Passion Translation, the Hallelujah Chorus. I feel like it's like a passion psalm. And so if we can have that on the screen, actually, I just want to read the whole thing to you because this describes a passionate congregation of believers. It starts with hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord. Praise God in his holy sanctuary. Praise him in his stronghold in the sky. Praise him for his miracles of might. Praise him for his magnificent greatness. Praise him with the trumpets blasting. Not just like playing, blasting, right? Praise him with the piano and the guitar. Praise him with the drums and dancing. Praise him with the loud, resounding clash of cymbals. Gabe does that really well. Praise him with every instrument you can find. I mean, like, can you imagine when they were writing this and they're like, I gotta get something, like grab a couple rocks and just like, I don't know, I just gotta praise the Lord. Let everyone everywhere join in the crescendo, right? We're using musical language here to shout and to support praising God. Join in the crescendo of ecstatic praise to Yahweh. And it ends again, hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? We get back to our focus. Like, this is what we're doing. We're using these things, these instruments, to praise the Lord and to do it with passion. Got me giggling right now for some reason.
I love too the creative expression that comes out of this church. Like, yeah. Out of that passion, we have made the way for more than just music to be an expression of that. Like the art and the dancing. Like those things are received so well here and they contribute to the atmosphere in such a positive way here because we are passionate and we see stuff like that and we allow it to stir us up. We allow ourselves to be moved by it. You know, there's so many things where you could be like, nope, I'm not gonna receive that, I'm not gonna, you know, but here in this place, people allow that to move them. Like we get to choose if we want to enter in. And I think it's such a great thing because I can see it in this place. When one of the dancers comes out and moves the flags, I can see people like let down their guard a little more, that kind of thing. And I love that this environment allows for that and makes way for that.
Yeah, I mean, as a guitar player, I remember one of my first times coming on stage and like, you know, I grew up playing guitar in church. So, you know, you put your volume at like 2 and they're like, no, turn that up. I'm like, really? Wow, this place is unique. Okay, here we go.
True. It's so
and
true.
It was totally stewarded. It was totally allowed. There was such permission for boisterous, loud volume. I like that word, boisterous. But also to steward the spontaneous. I mean, if you want to just write down Ephesians 5:19, I won't read it because of time, but that talks about singing spontaneously and moving into the prophetic, moving into intercession like we did today. We were praying for each other, interceding, and bearing, you know, each other's burdens and praying for them, lifting each other up. You know, did you want to talk about last weekend with the, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, so is anybody here last week? Were you a part of the worship service? I feel like there was something really important, really significant that happened last week while we were worshiping in both services. I'm going to stand up because I just need to. But it's fine.
Passion.
So last week, and I wanted to talk about this progression a little bit because I feel like for you guys to fully be with us in this, I want you guys to fully understand like how this stuff happens and how this stuff kind of develops and grows into something and how we try to fan the flames that we see these sparks happening. So you guys have probably seen in the news just some of the stuff that's coming out of New York with some of the abortion laws. I'm not going to get into all the political stuff. You guys can kind of look that up, and I think we've made it pretty clear how we stand as a church. But this was an issue that just really was on my heart for whatever reason. Like, you can't explain why the Lord highlight something for you, and this is just one of those things where I just felt like so burdened for this thing happening and for these people, and I found myself just kind of like reading in scripture and trying to kind of like just see why the Lord had given me this burden in a sense, like what am I to do with this. So that was just really heavy on my heart. And then first service last week, we started to sing Tremble, and we started to sing the name of Jesus, and something came over me, and I just felt like this anger rising up, but like a holy anger, if that makes sense, and this need to proclaim the name of Jesus over that situation. And as I did that, I felt like this thing rise up in the room, and I could feel people catching it. And I don't think anybody knew, because I didn't say anything publicly, like I'm specifically feeling this thing over this specific issue, but everybody, we were talking about it, and we were saying, like, I was telling us where to dig, in a sense. Like, the Lord was showing me, like, hey, here's a place to dig, but every one of you grabbed a shovel, and we dug. We got somewhere. We dug this well, and it was so cool. So then, second service, like, we were kind of a little bit more ready for it, because we were like, okay, like, you know, and it doesn't always happen the same way, but it had been such a powerful moment. We were like, you know, actually, we actually changed the set a little bit second service. So if you were here second service, we had not gone in to break every chain first service. But we were like, hey, let's try to facilitate that moment again. Let's try to, like, how can we even, like, build onto it? And we thought about, like, let's add Break Every Chain. I think actually Devin had been playing it and so kind of suggested it. And then when we got to that point, second service, and we went in to Break Every Chain, chains were falling off, you guys. And I mean, we weren't not exactly on the same exact page by what we were, like, maybe interceding over or what we were feeling in the spirit, but we were all together collectively as a church calling heaven to earth. And that is what worship is. It's like this bridge. And it worship, sometimes music feels like it's not of this world. Like the response that it evokes and all of that. And it's like these sounds that come down, and it reminds us of the atmosphere of heaven. And that our job in worship is to bring heaven to earth. Our job is Christians, guys. I mean, that's what this lifestyle of worship is all about. Like bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth and living it out here in this place. So that was really important. I wanted you guys to just kind of like let you in on that, because that felt really powerful. And we couldn't have gone there if we weren't all participating. And we just do that so well as a community here. I love seeing you guys get excited about the same things that we're getting excited about. You know, it's like, oh, it's not just me. Sometimes you feel like, oh, no one's going to get this, but I'm just going to do it. And it's so cool to see everybody pick up on that.
Yeah, that is such a cool picture. Hey, how about let's stand. I want to pray for you guys. And anoint you with a shovel. Yeah, we just want to bring that encouragement, that challenge too. Like, hey, if you feel like you haven't grabbed hold of that shovel yet, like, I encourage you to participate, to join in. That's what we're all about as a worship community in our culture. Would you work at that too? Would you cultivate that with us? Would you? Yeah? Yeah? You got an okay from some of you? Yeah? Would you cultivate that with us? Yeah? Because we are going to see heaven on earth. Yeah, we are going to see and continue to see more and more and more. So let's just open up our hands and Lord, just give us those shovels to dig where you want us to dig and to just find ways to cultivate that culture here that's so, so valuable and so powerful. Let's show us how we can bridge and bring heaven to earth each and every moment of every day, really, because we are worshipers daily in what we do with our, you know, stewarding our jobs and our families and our friendships. God, we worship you with everything. And maybe you're here today just kind of unsure of that role that you have to play. And maybe you're even unsure, like, of partnering with Jesus and maybe you're kind of stirred, like, I want to make that commitment. You know, it's a free gift that Jesus offers you to forgive the past. The past is the past. You have a glorious future ahead of you. He's calling you to. And so I don't want to waste a moment here to provide you with an opportunity to surrender to him, to receive forgiveness, because he first and foremost created that opportunity that we wouldn't be here being able to walk in God's goodness and pull heaven to earth without receiving forgiveness and being receiving the gift of salvation and being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. So I think together, so we don't single anybody out, let's just say this: Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And I believe that you died for my sins. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for that free gift of salvation. And I commit to living for you a life of worship, a life of passion, of authenticity and relationship. So ignite in me, O God, the gifts of the Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and set me on my path that you are calling me to live in. In Jesus' name, amen. So I hope you guys got stirred up today. Man, it was a real pleasure to be able to speak about this and kind of have our little worship community meeting together in a way and share these. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Have fun with your families. Don't eat too much. And we'll see you guys next weekend. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.